So as the last Sunday of 2018, we're going to take a little stock today. We're going to do a little reflecting, and we're going to look towards the future. And then I will ask that we do this on a couple of levels, okay? That we take an audit as individuals, okay? Where are we as we close out 2018 in our relationship with Jesus Christ, His calling into our lives, the ministries He has placed in our lives? Where are we? How's the health of those ministries? How's the health of our relationship? Okay? And then I'll ask that you do that on another couple of levels. You can do that inside of your marriage, inside of your families. And then I ask that we do that collectively as a church. Where are we as we answer the call that Jesus Christ has placed on Star Church in the communities that we live in and serve in? Because there has been a great calling placed on our lives. And the calling comes directly from Jesus Christ. It's found in Matthew 28, and it is right before He ascends into heaven. And as many of you know, when you get ready for a trip or you're going to be absent from someone or some people for a while, your closing words, sometimes you speak from the heart with emotion, with truth, speak genuinely to them. Sometimes you say things that normally in everyday common conversations we don't approach those subjects. But this is a subject that Jesus approaches as He's ascended into heaven, as He speaks to His disciples, as He gives them the last instructions, the last words of love, the last words of encouragement before He goes to the Father. And these are His words. This is His calling. And we are responsible for answering this call. This is the commission that Jesus Christ has given the church and given Christians individually. It's found in Matthew 28. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, to His disciples, and saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And those are His departing words. That is the commission that He has laid on the hearts of His followers individually and collectively come together as the church. This is our mission. In fact, this is the mission. This is what we're called to do. So let's look inside of this. Let's break it apart. Let's figure out exactly what He's calling us to do. And then let's take stock individually as a family and as a church family on where we are this morning as we close out 1 year and as we look forward to opening a new year. First part I want to talk about is here, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Okay, there's a reason why this statement is included into this statement and into the commission that He gives the church and to His followers. There's a reason why this is there. Okay, and it's more than just a fancy way of saying things. It is laced with meaning, and it is the optimal place where we have to start when we take and digest the commission that Jesus Christ has given us. In fact, without completely and genuinely understanding this statement, we can't move forward with what God's calling us to do. This is the pivotal statement inside of here. Because without this statement, and without faith and belief in this statement, the rest of the words fall apart. This is the starting place. This is optimal that we understand, that we believe, that we digest this statement right here. Let's look at it. Because what we have to understand is that this is just not a man being taken up into heaven and He's saying some pretty powerful words. This is Jesus Christ God the Son. And he is speaking with ultimate authority. In fact, he's saying, God has given me all authority that exists. He has placed in Jesus Christ all authority. And if we recite the words that are found in John 10, what Jesus Christ says, he says, I and my Father are one. Now that's a powerful statement all in itself, because we believe in the Holy Trinity here. We know that we have seen the truth, and we have seen the verdict that of that belief. And we know that the evidence is there that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are one, the true God. And these are his statements. And this is what he is saying, is that he is coming with all. Now listen to me, not with some authority, not with some given authority, but he is coming with all authority. And the reason why is that Jesus Christ is God. There's no separating that. And when we pray to God, we pray through Jesus Christ, because he is our pathway. He is the bridge that has spanned that void between God and man, that sin divided us. And Jesus Christ is the bridge that links us to God. And we are to pray through him, because he is our salvation. He is our prayers. He is our pathway to God, because he is God. Okay? And it goes on and says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way that you get to the Father. I am the truth of all things in this world. And I am life. Without me, there is only death. And if you're living today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are found dead in your trespasses, dead in your sins. The only way anything in this world ever lives is because Jesus Christ is in it. Now, there's a lot of people alive, but they are not truly living life, because they don't have the life, Jesus Christ, in them. And it says there that no one gets to the Father except through me, because he is our salvation. And I talked to the high school class this morning, and we went through a couple of things of some questioning, and the statement that I made to them is that Jesus Christ is the submissive Son of God. And what that means is that everything that God the Father has ever asked of Jesus Christ, God the Son, he has done and fulfilled. Now that is an enormous statement for those of us who build our life and our eternal life on Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Because that sacrifice is the will of God. And without that sacrifice, there is no way to get to God the Father. That's why he is the truth. Because we don't lie to anybody here. Okay? Our statements are found in love. You can't get to God the Father without Jesus Christ. Okay? That's a statement of love. That's not an isolating statement. That's not a separating statement. That is a statement in love. Jesus Christ died for everyone. Every single person, regardless of what they claim or what title they have or what religion they claim, Jesus Christ died for them so that they could get to the Father. All right? He is also the life, because without him, there is no salvation and there is no eternal life. He is coming with great authority because he is that submissive Son of God. And without his submission, then the equation breaks down. But because he is always in the will of God the Father, submitting to the will of God the Father always gives him all authority that could ever be found. All right? And it says there that once you know him, you know the Father. And from now on, when you know Jesus, you know God. And it says there that he said to them, he who has seen me has seen the Father. There is no separating Jesus from God. God sent Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus Christ is God. He is God the Son. There is no separating that. And when we read these stories, we have to understand that when Jesus Christ comes as a man, he is 100% man, but at the same time, he is 100% God. And when we study, just like we did in the nativity scene, and when we will come up on Easter here in just a couple of months, I know it sounds crazy, but in a couple of months we'll already be in Easter. But when we study this stuff, I need you to understand that a 100% man, Jesus, also is 100% God. All right? And that is because he is submitting always to the will of God the Father. And then it says there that the words I speak to you, I do not speak of my own or on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Okay? This is what we truly need to absorb this morning, because we are building everything that we do here on the beginning of the statement, and that is that Jesus Christ is always submitting to God the Father. His words that he speaks to us, every word that's found in red in your Bible, is not just the words that come from Jesus Christ. They are coming through Jesus Christ because he is submitting to God the Father. He is speaking the words of God the Father. They are the words of Jesus Christ, but they are also the words of God the Father. What I'm trying to get is you can't separate God the Father from God the Son. There is no separating there. Okay? And when we read the Bible for what it truly is, you must take and absorb and understand that Jesus Christ is God. And I know I'm belaboring the point here, and I'm doing it for a point. And that is that everything that we believe and declare here is built on the sacrifice, the example of Jesus Christ. And we do that with all faith in everything that we can ever muster that could be called hope and faith and love. And we do that because there is no separating between Jesus Christ and God. They are one and the same with two different personalities, but they are still one. And there is no separating that. And don't let the world ever tell you anything that could ever put into your mind that would separate that fact. Because that is heresy, that is false, and we don't preach false doctrine here. Jesus Christ is God. There's no separating that. It also says there that knowing that God, and this is why, and listen, this is why this works. This is why God the Father gives all power and authority to Jesus Christ, in a sense, all right? And this is why. And this is why we can trust Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus Christ is to be glorified and high lifted up. Because once he received all authority, now he already had it, but it says here that knowing that God the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, all right? What did he do? What example did he set? Did he flex the muscle to show the world of the power that I have, that God has given me? And you just thought I was a man, but I got all this power? Is that the statement that Jesus Christ is going to make? Is he going to stand up on a pedestal and announce to the nations, I am Jesus Christ, bow before me with all power I have. I declare that you bow before me like Nebuchadnezzar did. No, that's not the example set forth by Jesus Christ. Here's Jesus Christ, no separating from God. But at this time, he has given away his rights as God to come down in man, as a form of man, so that he could be killed for each and every one of us. All right? And when he is found here, he has all power, all authority to do anything. And what does he do? It says that he disrobed himself, and then he took a cloth, clothed himself as a slave. Now, I need you to understand the word slave here. Okay? Slave does not pick who he serves. Do you understand that? Do you understand it? You guys are kind of looking at me a little bit. Okay? You do not get to decide who you serve. That's powerful stuff the day that we live in today. Okay? We're not going to be asked, who do you want to serve? Who fits who you think deserves it? Because that's not what this life is all about. There's not anything built in Christianity about deserving. It's not there. It's undeserving, merited, unconditional love. That's Christianity. That's Jesus Christ dying for a bunch of people who did not deserve it, didn't want it. In fact, they said, put his blood on us and on our children and on our children's children's head. That's what they said. We'll take it. All right? And what Jesus Christ says, looks up to God and says, forgive them. They're too ignorant to know what they're doing. Forgive them. I'm dying for them anyways. That's what's being said there. I put that in Aaron translation, all right? That's what's being said there. And so here is Jesus Christ with all power and authority that could ever be given. And he acts as a slave and he washes the feet of those who are below him. Service, love, grace. Nothing about deserving, earning. This is the basics of Christianity. What are we called to do? Are we called to say, hey, God's blessed us, and we got some money in the bank, and we're doing good, so we're going to walk around a little bit haughty, and with a nose in our air, and walking by people who need help because they don't deserve it, and they haven't made good decisions in their lives? Well, I'm here to tell you that I've made some of the worst decisions anyone could ever make, all right? If you're honest with yourself, you've made some horrible decisions too. But still, God sent Jesus Christ, who accepted it and died for each and every one of us. And what the Bible says is that if you've been blessed, God expects more of you to give to those who don't deserve but need help and service anyways. That's what's being asked of us. It's not, there's not anywhere on the chart of Christianity where you get out of the service realm, where you're too good to serve. In fact, what the Bible says is if you're too good to serve out here, you're not qualified to serve here in the church. And we're sent and we are given, each and every one of us, a mission to serve. And you can sum that up completely with that statement, to serve. Because in order to serve, you got to be filled with love. Because sometimes people you're serving, you know, I mean, let's just speak frank here. At that, the thing we do downtown, the New Life Party, you know, sometimes they say, hey, you know, those guys are grilling all those burgers and everything. Hey, could you just burn the edges of my bun this time just a little bit? You know, they're getting, you know, asking requests and stuff as, you know, you're flipping 2,700 hamburgers all at one time. Sure, we could. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's gonna make your head want to explode. I get it. I'm there. I'm a father of two. Okay, I get head exploding. All right. But here's the thing. We are given a great big ministry. We're given a mission. We're called to be Christ-like. And do you understand what Christ is saying here? Do you understand what's going on in John 13, 3 through 5? Regardless of the amount of authority and power given to Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ possessed as God's Son, his actions speak volumes of what his doctrine is. In it is serve, serve, and then serve some more with love, commission, or with love and with a commission given to us directly from God the Son. And this is how God repaid him. He gave him a name that is above every name. That at just the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow on earth, above earth, below earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of who? Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is Lord, but who's it glorify? God the Father. You see that? You see how that happens? The appropriate glory is given. Jesus Christ is always submitting to God the Father. God the Father repays him, gives him a name filled with authority. The Bible says Jesus spoke to those and they listened because he spoke with authority. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God. He was speaking with some authority, you betcha. They'd never heard that. And he was given authority He was given a name that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Jesus Christ the Lord. And because of his life and his submission to God the Father, all the glory goes back to God the Father, who continues to lift and elevate Jesus Christ with the name that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow in front of him, so that God gets the glory and it goes back to God. See how that works? It's always happening. That's a point that I'm making this morning, is that when we do things here and when you do things in your private life, ask yourself, does the appropriate glory get given to God the Father? Because let's just be honest with one another. Sometimes when good things happen in our lives, we kind of want to say, I'm pretty awesome, aren't I? Huh? But then when bad stuff happens, what do we say? I guess I'm cursed. What did you just redo? You just removed God from glory and you from blame. That's sometimes how we live. And we need to do the opposite of that. We need to give God all glory. And when things go wrong, it's because we put self before God. And we got too involved with our own this and that. And when we get involved for us, things go amok. They go wrong. But when we do it for the glory of God, things happen. Things multiply. Seeds are sown. The harvest becomes plentiful. Now let's go here. There, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Once we understand the authority and who's flowing through us and what's happening here, then it's time to go to work. We're called to go to work. We're called to go out and make disciples of all the nations. Okay? What's that mean? Well, are we just going to be hapless, sent out? No. Here's the understanding. Here's what we preach. Here's true biblical doctrine. The second you believe Jesus Christ is God, the Son of God, sent to die for each and every one of us at the cross, and because of that sacrifice in his resurrection, we now have eternal life through Jesus Christ. The second that you believe that, we believe that you get the gift of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit resides in you once you believe that. Immediately. Doesn't happen later at another date. Immediately you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with that gift comes power. Because who lives inside of you? God. There is no separating God from Jesus, and there is no separating the Holy Spirit from Jesus, and there is no separating the Holy Spirit from God the Father. They are one. And when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have Jesus Christ living inside of you. And when you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, you have God the Father living inside of you. And when you go out and you operate and you serve with genuine Christian love and you allow God to flow through you, then you reveal to others God. And they are blessed. And there is a power that comes through that. And that is what we're sent out to, is to go out and to serve genuinely so that God can live through us. And through us, not from our own making, but through us, God's power and glory is revealed. Okay? And then it says that you shall be a witness. All right? Remember that. You're a witness. So when you do things out in the community, you represent several things. You represent your family. You represent maybe who you work for. And then at the end of it, you represent where you worship. You represent Star Church. And also you represent Christianity. So think about what we represent, what we claim when we go out. And we are to be true witnesses for who Jesus Christ is. That's a big calling. Will you do it completely, always, perfectly? No. But we are called to be his witness. And it tells us that we're to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You know who lives in, you know who lived in Samaria? Samaritans, man. Those weren't good people, were they? They weren't full-blooded, were they? That was terrible. And to the ends of the earth. You know what you found the further out you went? The less they knew about religion. But we're called to be a witness to all. A witness to all. John 15 says, now listen to this, okay? And let's get this appropriately. It says here that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Okay? So sometimes we come away and people kind of preach that some people are chosen before and some people aren't. A little Calvinistic vein going on there. Okay? I don't find that in the Bible. I don't believe that predestination stuff. You want to know what this means? Because here's how we live. We live that I have a life. It's my life. Isn't that how that song goes? Okay? It's my life. Or even add another song, and I want to do it my way. Frank Sinatra style, right? Okay, I want to do it my way. And then I'll go to church, and I'll listen to God a little bit, and I'll apply a little bit of that to my life. That's backwards. And this is what God is telling us. Before you were ever born, before you were ever thought of, I chose you. I had in mind somebody with a life filled with ministry, love, and works. And that existed before you could ever be thought of. I chose you. I chose your life. Now, you can go out and try to live a life, but I'm telling you, if you want peace, if you want a life of fulfillment that you can't find anywhere else, except the life that I have chosen for you. I chose you. I appointed you. I anointed you with this life. So go out and bear fruit. Go out and live that life and trust that your fruit shall remain and that it is good fruit. And whatever you do in my name, do it with genuine service and love. And that's what he's saying. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you life-changing agents. Let's go on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We celebrate baptism here. Okay? We do it primarily because we're called to do it in the Great Commission. And then the other big reason is Jesus Christ submitted himself to that as well. And it is the example set forth by Jesus Christ. And it is also what we're asked to do in the Great Commission. It is a form of submission. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And it is a celebration for the body of church. All right? But it is also a calling. And in the Bible, there's a place here where the disciples are kind of arguing about who's going to sit where in heaven. And then two of them come and say, hey, can you give us some VIP spots? We want to sit right beside you in heaven. We want to have little thrones by your big throne. And he says, that's not for me to give. And he says, in fact, you can't take the baptism that I'm being baptized with. And they said, yes, we can. We can. All right? And here is the statement. Here is what Jesus Christ is saying. Here's the point of this. All right? We are asked, if we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to pick up our cross, to pick up our ministry, to pick up the burdens that God has placed in front of us, pick it up each and every day and follow Jesus Christ as genuinely and as authentically as we can. And that will require us getting through suffering because Jesus Christ himself suffered. He set the example. We need to understand what we're getting into. And then it says there that indeed we will drink the cup of his communion and we will be baptized with the baptism that he is baptized with. And what does that mean? Is that if you live an authentic Christian life, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied about. You're going to be cheated. Okay? You're going to be scorned. You're going to lose friends. You're going to suffer. And the point of the story is that those are all things that Jesus Christ endured. He was able to endure it. Why? Because he was submitting faithfully to God the Father. God the Father did not leave him in his suffering, but lifted him up. And the point of the story is that we're not simply sent here to endure a life of suffering and get to the end and go, whew, I did it. That's not what we're required to do. What we're asked to do is to take on a life that will ask us to be persecuted, ask us to suffer, and then we give thanks that they think enough of us to persecute us, and that the devil is on us enough to cause us to suffer. But we don't just stay there. We do it because we are submitting to Jesus Christ, who is always in the will of God the Father, who will not leave you in your suffering, will not leave you in persecution, but will elevate you just like he elevated Jesus Christ. That's the promise. That's the life of faith. That's the Christian walk. Ask yourself, where are you? Because sometimes we get persecuted and then we want to say, that's not right. And I got rights and I got to do all this. And you know what Jesus Christ did when he was persecuted? He didn't say a word. And then he kept walking towards the cross. That's what he did. He didn't let anybody get him off his mission. Nobody sidetracked him. He kept on going to the cross. You know why? Because that was the mission, to get to the cross. Ask yourself, what's the mission? Do you get side railed? Do you get sidetracked? Do you get pushed off the road because of a little persecution and a little bit of suffering? Because Jesus Christ went through it, and he did it because he was always submitting to God the Father, who was elevating him. And if we do it right, God won't leave us in our persecution and our suffering, but he will elevate us because we are submitting just like Jesus Christ submitted to him. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. What's that mean? Well, let's look. Okay? They said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, there's two of them. Everything in the Old Testament and everything that the prophets said, hang on this right here. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? Everything in the Old Testament, everything in the law, everything that the prophets ever spoke of, this is what they're hanging their hat on. And it's simply that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, body, mind, spirit, soul. That's the greatest commandment. And the second is what? To love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Can you do that on your own? How do you do that? Submit to Jesus Christ. Allow him to do it for you. Sometimes we're not anti-Christian. We don't act anti-Christian. You know what we are? Anti-submissive. Sometimes we just don't want to submit. Sometimes we just don't want to buy in. You know why? Because it asks things from us. Sometimes little things, and I just don't want to give some little things. Sometimes big things, I definitely don't want to give some big things. But if you'll read the Bible for what it says, those who submit were lifted up. And the more that they submitted, the more that God blessed them. The more that he found them and lifted them up. These things I command you, that you love one another. In a world that is so filled full of hate, why don't we try what Jesus Christ commanded us to do? Love one another. And you say, boy, that sounds easy. Is it? You're just coming out of some family gatherings. Was it easy to love everybody in those family gatherings, huh? Sometimes you got that relative that, poof. And I'll tell you this, if you don't think you got one in your family, you be them. You're the one everybody was whispering about. Okay? Sometimes it's tough, man. People are very unlovable sometimes. Downright nasty. What are we called to do? Love. Love. And it says, lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth and to the ends of the age. Jesus Christ has promised us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. He will always be there with you. It's our opportunity when we are being persecuted, when we're going through tough times, to look over and find Jesus Christ next to us. He's there. Sometimes we just don't look over to him. He's there. That's the promise. He will not leave us as orphans, but he has sent the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us, who guides and directs us, encourages us, instructs us, condemns us, corrects us. He does not speak his own words because he is submissive to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives him the words, and at the same time, they are not the words of Jesus Christ, but the words of God the Father. That's the perfect harmony of the Holy Trinity right there. That's what we're building our life on. That's what we're building this commission on. That's why we can go out and serve, because we know that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how he displayed his love to us, by allowing him to die. Jesus Christ loves us so much that he submitted himself, even to the point of death, that we might gain eternal life. And he did not leave us as orphans, but gave us the Spirit of truth, who is God the Father and God the Son, living inside of us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What do I have to fear? So ask yourself, where are you? How are you living up to what God's placed in your life? Where are we as a church? Got a business meeting coming up. Where are we? We might be doing it exactly right. Might be some things we need to tinker here and there. But we need to truly take inventory today and ask yourself, where are you personally? Where's your family? Where's our church? And what's your contribution to the mission of the church? Are we in an 80-20? And you know, you ever heard of the 80-20 rule? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You know what? It's really 90-10. That's the truth. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And then I'm just going to throw this in and I get fired afterwards, but about 8% of that is women. Hmm. 8% of the 10% is women. Nope. I'm just going to say it. So I got my thank you letter already written. All right. All the deacon are men. I understand that. Okay. But I can't stand up here and lie to you. And I'm a little bit involved in everything we do out here. So, okay. We've been blessed. We have been blessed. I've been blessed more than I could ever ask for. The opportunities that I've squandered are great. And the ones I took advantage of, I don't deserve. I don't deserve the things in my life. So we have been blessed, and it's time that we recognize it. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. Let's thank God for the year that we had in 2018, either collectively or personally, and then let's prepare ourselves for 2019, for the work that's ahead of us. We got great work ahead of us. You ever talk to any of these little kids that come over here on Wednesday night? Some of them don't eat at night other than when they come here. That's the truth, okay? Some of them don't understand love. And you say, well, they act crazy. It's because they only know you get what you go out and take. That's what they've been taught in this world. If you can show them love, you can show them mercy, unconditional love, something they don't deserve, then we will change the world. But that only happens if we buy into the Great Commission and allow God to flow through us. I'm going to open up the altars to you.